This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is a beautiful Wednesday evening. Hello, 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 and welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. It is a beautiful Wednesday evening. You know that whenever you hear us on air, it is nothing but 360 Biz, a show that brings you all things business. We bring in regulators, we bring in subject matter experts, we bring in industry champions, and most importantly, the reputation that we've built, that this is a show that holds people accountable in terms of what they claim to be doing for entrepreneurs out there, and none other than as well bringing entrepreneurs onto the big, on the hot seat to tell us about some of the exciting stuff that they do. Let me take this opportunity to actually welcome myself onto this chair, since Tsego is not here, Bulelani is not here. You know, I always say business people don't become delayed. However, they don't become late, they become delayed. So in this instance, they are actually running other commitments. And I've been traveling. Last time I spoke to you, ladies and gentlemen, it was when I was leaving the country, going to Sweden. I had an amazing and beautiful trip. It's actually interesting going out there. You're seeing what other countries are doing as far as entrepreneurship is concerned, and as far as improving the economy of their country is concerned. Even I had an opportunity to go watch the World Cup, I must say, for a person that is not a soccer fan. Even my friend Alice here is looking shocked that I actually went to go watch soccer. You know, but I guess I had to. It was part of the journey. But however, I am back right here in studio with all of you. Let me take this opportunity to say happy, happy, happy Women's Day to all the beautiful women out there in South Africa, in our continent, and in the world at large. You know that without you amazing women, we wouldn't be able to survive or actually even make the best out of life. You guys actually make this world very interesting. Yes, you know what? you guys are. Eh? That is in a positive and in a negative way, but mainly positive, I must say. It's because of a woman as well that I'm sitting here, you know, a mother that gave birth to me and even raised me single-handedly as a single parent. And today I've brought in a woman in studio. I'm excited to have beautiful and amazing women in studio. It's very steady. I've got three amazing, beautiful, independent and ladies in studio that are into male-dominated industries. You know, these women, you'll get to hear their story. We'll get to talk to them. You'll get to hear about some of the exciting things that they're doing as entrepreneurs within the South African content. Like I've said, that the show is women in male-dominated industry. And I must say, there's no denying that women are faced with challenges in the workplace. These challenges include sexual harassment, access to opportunities, the mom effect, the pay gaps, and investigating gaps, and even way more challenges that they experience. I mean, the challenges increase exponentially in male-dominated industries such as mining, finance, tech, engineering, construction, politics, and etc. These industries are comprised of 25% or fewer female employees, and an even smaller percentage of women in leadership. However, women are making big shifts in industries and are occupying roles that are more once prominently male-dominated. The common bias is that the traits of women in leadership are often perceived in a negative way. Assertiveness is often perceived as a business, and passion and empathy is getting worked up. I mean, it surely takes guts and requires a confident, brave and strong women in established and excel male-dominated career fields. So these are some of the women that I'm excited that last week at the South African Institute of Black Property Practitioners, I got an opportunity to actually facilitate a discussion about transformation in the property sector with some of these women. I had amazing women like Ipileng Makari. I had a lady like Portia, the CEO of SH Property Charter. I have the CEO of Sabib himself. And I have another lady who's the CEO of Izandla. It's a property fund, and who's the deputy president of the woman in construction. I know that Alice was as well nominated for you. I think you what she made the top 50, but she's going to tell us about that. It's the WPN. it's the WPN show that we've had. So, you know, and we actually got to discuss some of these exciting challenges that these women face, and how the perception as well is that you guys, as female, as women, slept your way to the top by sleeping your way to the top, or others are feeling that if you don't sleep your way to the top, you know what, you're not going to make it. Where else, others for that matter, women are strictly given the power to be used as puppets. But however, let me take this opportunity to welcome my three guests in studio who are going to tell us and get into detail in this discussion. I've got Miss Alice Madisha, all the way from Limpopo. But she's a... are you a Gautenian right now, or what are you? But...
I'll never change
that. Oh, okay. No, they're spoken like a true entrepreneur. She's the co-founder of Smith and Madisha Construction. I know they're very involved in some of the exciting construction projects that you see, mainly consisting of retail, malls and stuff. But she'll get to tell us about some of the exciting projects that we do. We've got Miss Ntabiseng Setege, who's the founder of Latitude Liberty, who's with us in studio as well. We've got Mejo Matole, who's the founder and COO of Gwani Diamonds. I mean, these are surely female-led businesses and male-dominated industry. You're allowed to be part of the discussion. You can always join us. We are on social media. It's at cliffcentral.com. We are on Facebook as well. It's Cliff Central page. And we're on every social media. If you want to follow me, it's at DoubleHomer40 on Twitter. It's DoubleHomer40 on Facebook. It's at DoubleHomer40 on Instagram. We've got a WhatsApp line as well. If you want to be part of the discussion, you can always really send us a WhatsApp line straight in studio for you to ask question for these ladies. The WhatsApp number is 079-7948-2090. 079-948-2090. It is indeed a beautiful Wednesday. Let's get straight to the show. Maybe let me take this opportunity to welcome you ladies in studio.
Thank you.
Yes, maybe do you want to quickly tell us, maybe just say hi to our listeners, tell us quickly who you are and what is it that you do in your role as the founder of this company.
I'm quite chuffed to be here and sharing my experiences. So my name is Musibudi Jo Matwale.
Okay, Musibudi, you just call me Tabiso. Okay, Tabo.
Tabo. I've got Tabiso. Okay. Yeah. Blame it on the nerves.
Oh, okay. Not me. No, it's fine.
Okay. Yeah. So, Deboho, my name is, yes, as I said, I'm the co-founder and CEO of Gwame Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kwame is my son's name, meaning a son born on a Saturday.
Okay.
It's a Ghanaian name. So I'm African like that.
Okay.
So we are in beneficiation space, diamond beneficiation space. So practically we buy rough diamonds from producers, and we have a factory. We've set up a factory that cuts and polishes diamonds. So we bring the rough diamonds into the brilliant stones that you see in the stores, in the jewelry shops, and that the most popular women get
okay.
to wear.
Okay, I know women love diamonds.
Oh yes.
You know, they love buying diamonds, owning diamonds, but I've never met a woman that does actually diamonds.
Okay, welcome to the party.
Nice. I like that. Remember Disha?
Thank you for the invitation and this opportunity. My name is Alice Madisha, and I'm a co-founder of Smith and Madisha Construction, and she's Alice. Smith and Madisha, what we do is construction of warehouses, mm-hmm. shopping centers, and the biggest one that we did is actually North Mid Square in Benoni, and we also do office blocks. And yeah, and in terms of the safety side, we have we designing me and Liaho, the partner. We actually designing the women PPE. We have realized that we have a lot of challenges. We are forced to wear male clothes.
So you guys want to bring sexiness onto this onto the construction site?
Oh yes.
No, we're not bringing sexiness. We're bringing practicality, because our bodies are not made
as men. Can you stand up? Let's see this PPE of yours.
No, it's not a full one actually. It's just
nice.
Oh, okay. Nice.
You can see that it accommodates. It actually accommodates everything that, you know what, in terms of the breasts and the behinds and everything.
Oh, so it accommodates everything.
Everything.
So, okay.
The whole body.
Oh, okay. Ntabiseng?
Hi, my name is Ntabiseng Setege, a civil engineer in construction.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've been involved in projects on the N2. rehabilitating the N2 and basically building bridges as well, as young as I am, for the country.
You know, that's my favorite hashtag, building bridges.
Yes. Build a bridge and drive over it. That's what I've done. And I'm happy that I've actually got a chance to do that. You know, not a lot of people get that opportunity. So now I know exactly how to start a bridge from looking at a drawing and placing it and seeing the final product at the end and being proud about it, you know. So that's me.
Hmm. Yeah. Miles, let's come back to you. Okay, maybe before I come to you, let me come to Joe.
Yeah.
Joe.
Talk to me.
Diamonds.
Yes.
You're supposed to be wearing them. How did you start making them? Maybe take us from the beginning.
So, it goes back to when I was a stockbroker. So
you used to be a stockbroker?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So just taking you two steps back.
Okay.
So I grew up in a family of four daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my dad was desperate to have a son somewhere. And he just had to convert one of us into that.
Okay.
Into a son. So I guess I became that son for him.
Mm.
And he took me to the stock exchange once. And it was amazing what I saw. I thought, okay, are these people working? It was the time when there was a floor. And there was just a whole lot of men. They were playing soccer there. And I was like, okay, is this work? I love whatever it is that they're doing. That's what I want to do.
Nice.
So when I started working for
FMU, I love that, whatever it is.
Yeah, I was like,
I want to do.
Whatever it is. Because it looked so interesting, you know. There was a lot of screens and TVs. And they were just pointing. And there was just, it was the stock exchange, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So anyway, I joined FNB. And then I got to be at the settlements department, where I started trading in stocks and shares. And then from there, and also in that environment, it's still men, you know. So slowly but surely, I'm getting used to this. So I got promoted to come and be trained as a trainee dealer.
Okay.
So at the time, I'm talking 1998, so there's not a lot of black women in that industry. So you're still faced with a white male-dominated industry again, you know. So I'm there, I'm becoming a dealer, and pretty soon, before I know it, I'm a sales trader.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting on the desk, and then, yeah. So my specialty was resource stocks. So I dealt in a lot of gold, platinum, your transactors. So that was Petra and Transax were mainly the diamond companies. So after some time, you know, becoming a mother, becoming in a stockbroking environment is it's highly pressurized, because you need to prove your worth. You need to prove that you're worth the seat you're sitting on. You're a mother. You need to get out of there, go home, and be a mother and be a husband. The latter is a bit of a challenge.
Okay. Be a wife.
Yeah. Be a wife. You understand? Yeah.
Leave the husband to me.
And be a wife. You understand? So then I sort of like reached my ceiling, and I thought, okay, let's try something else that is equally exciting. So I met this auditor, and he had a mine in Buckley West. So I said, you know what? I'm looking for something that can challenge me equally. So he said, no, come to the mine, experience it. If you love it, that's fine. Let's see what we can do. So I went, I quit my job, high paying job, and I went to the mine. I learned to start sorting diamonds. I didn't even know what the stone is, which one is the diamond, but then I pretty soon got the hang of it. And I got into diamonds. I never looked back. Pretty much.
Okay, maybe let me ask you this question.
Yeah,
we see half of the time trading in South Africa has become, I don't know, a trendy thing.
Yeah.
So now you find that there's all these people that come out of nowhere. They want to teach you trading and sell people expensive products that actually are for free and everything else. So now, I mean, and you find as well, a lot of people are being screwed off their pension money and everything else that has to do with trading is concerned. For you sitting in this chair as a trader, you know, what is your own opinion of what you're seeing happening out there?
You know, to be honest, I don't think people should be buying these expensive products that are being offered out there, because if you don't have the knowledge of the market, being a trader does not end up by you just being there and buying stocks and shares. There's a lot of information that you get fed. You understand? You talk to the analysts, you talk to the asset managers, you talk to the fund managers. These are the people that you're dealing with. So you understand the trends better. So if you're going to buy a product and sit home and you don't have the feed of all the information that's coming through, what drives your decision to buy a First Rand or to buy an Anglo-American share? If you don't have that information, you are bound to make mistakes, and mistakes that will cost you daily. Because with stocks and shares, it's up today, it's down tomorrow. And it's quite a risky business to do. So I would rather you go to a qualified stockbroking firm, get a portfolio manager that can manage your money. They've got the expertise. They talk to the traders. We talk to the market as a whole. We talk to overseas markets. We know what's trending. We know what affects the market. So when you're sitting home and you've got this Forex thing that's supposed to make you money, and you don't know that some Alan Greenspan or Trump is saying something that's going to affect your portfolio. You understand? And if you don't have that, you are messed up.
Yeah, I know. And she says you're messed up. Alice, I want to know, you sitting here, Limpopoen, you're supposed to be sitting in the Bundus there farming or doing something, and now you are sitting in Gauteng, you're building malls, and you're doing all these exciting stuff. Take us from the beginning. How did you actually start this interesting journey of yours?
I actually started by studying construction management.
So you studied construction management? Okay.
Yes, at UJ, and I majored with construction management at UT.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I got a job at Cipro Construction, and from there, I gave myself 3 years in the private industry. And after that, I got an opportunity to start Smith & Madisha, and the rest is history.
Oh, yes. So today, you're building malls.
I'm building malls. We're building warehouses, office blocks, tenant installations.
Let's name drop. Give us some of the malls that you've built.
We're busy with Four Ways Mall. We're doing the Think Present R&B by Friedman Drive in Sandton.
Mm-hmm.
And North Mid Square is one of the biggest, which was, it was 76M. And
what is 76M?
Millions.
No, we must hear it. 76 million.
Okay. Don't worry, it's not a meter, like millimeters or something. Yeah. It's a million.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, Woolworths, we've done 3 already. Mm. Two of them, we've done it from scratch. Yeah, we've done Nando's, 2 of them. We've done...
Okay, Alice, if you're now doing shopping malls and stuff that are worth... I mean, the shopping mall, you said it costs about millions, 78 yes. million and the likes. How old are you?
Do I have to give it away?
No, how old are you? No, we want to know. I'm going to write now. There's a black child that is listening. There's a young woman that is listening. Yes. That is from Limpopo. That is from wherever, rural areas. They're sitting there. They're feeling sorry for themselves. They think it's impossible for them. Do you understand? So I'm asking your age to say right now, you're coming from there, and right now you're building malls and everything else. It's a big deal. Do you understand? Right now, you're charging all these millions to be building malls. And I say, right now, we just go to a mall and shop. When are you build them? There's a huge difference. Do you understand? And for them, they need to know that a young woman is doing it in South Africa. Do you understand? And they've got an opportunity themselves. So hence, I want to know, how old are you?
31. I'm turning 31 next week, Thursday.
You're turning 31 next week, Thursday. Yes. And from what age did you start?
The company I started when I was 24 years. And yeah. And she's only started last year when I was 30.
Nice. We're celebrating black excellence today. Women that are doing amazing things. And Tabi Singh.
Yep.
You are a yellow bone to start with.
Yes.
Yeah. And a beautiful black woman.
Thank you.
Somebody would expect you in a mall that Alice has built. Owning So Bay, you know. Or a saloon, or even going to do your hair or whatsoever. You
You'd
understand?
Be surprised.
So, but when are you sitting on the M2 building bridges?
Yeah, you know.
Tell us, how did it start?
Well, firstly, I went to study to get a national diploma from the Tshwane University of Technology. And then I had to do my in-service training. So I applied at Marion Roberts. And then they took me in. I went to work for Marion Roberts Infrastructure. And then when I got there, I got to my first project on the N2 in KwaZulu-Natal. And then we were busy just rehabilitating the road, 33 kilometers there, placing asphalt and V-drains and all those. And then later on, I got to another project on the N2 again, you know, Sunroll's project. And when I got there...
So these bridges like you, ne?
Yeah, bro. And then when I got there, then I started, you know, building culverts, major culverts. And then I was part of the teams that were building oscillator piles. And then I started working at a batch plant, distributing concrete there, and then precast beams. Then after that, bridge decks and parapets, you know, the list went on. And then recently, which was now in May, and then I decided, you know what, I'd rather start my own. So I just recently started Latitude Liberty, which is my company. And the journey begins, you know, for me to thrive into construction and making money for myself. Mm.
So now you decided, you're tired of building bridges for a white man.
As bro, you know, like when you see those millions, when they're just going, flowing right in front of you, like working in a company, which, like, the project was like 900 million rands. That's like close to a billion. And you look at that and you're managing those costs, you're managing everything on site. And then you just go like, you know what? Maybe I can do this myself. I can start small and grow big and all that. So, yeah.
You know, a person that knows what you're talking about, it's Alice, because you're busy talking about cabs and setting concrete. Like, okay.
Gibberish.
You know? So, you know? So, yeah. Alice, tell me, the state of construction industry in the country, what can you say about them? Is it accommodative to women? Is it transforming? Are you getting an opportunity? Are you seeing a chance?
I would say it's transforming slowly, but not at the correct rate that goes with the economy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
The question again?
No, Hore, the state of construction industry in the country, yes.
No, it's not growing at the right rate. There are a lot of people that are coming up and they still need support. And that's what we actually saw. And at the moment, what we have seen, those big companies that are falling are going down. At the moment, they're going down with a lot of people. But if you were to check the company that they have grown with, we don't see them in the market at all. And that's where the problem is.
Okay, but now we're seeing as well that as much as the industry is slowly transforming, we're seeing a lot of construction companies are closing.
True. Yes.
Others that are not closing are being liquidated. Mm. Others that are not being liquidated, it's just a whole lot of, it looks like a problematic industry.
Mm. No, it is. And the problem that is there is in private sector, the companies, the big companies, I mean, what they do is they're looking for a reason not to pay you, and the government is taking time to pay. And in both of them, in between, the construction industry is suffering as a whole, and the corruption as well is the one that is bringing it down even further. It's a pity that they say the BEEs and everything, but when it comes to the ground and having to do the groundworks, it's not done.
So I want to hear your opinion.
Well, in terms of the construction industry, big companies are actually falling down at the moment, and it's basically because of BEE, from my analysis. You know, like, companies are being bought by only black-owned managers, people with BCOMs and all that, to invest. And in order for them to get jobs, basically from the government and all that, because now, the moment they get into the procurement sector, the whole supply, you know, the requirements are that BEE needs to be adhered to. So now, some companies have been going down. I can't name them now, but if you know. And then the thing is, and like for me, while I was in the company, it was a challenge for a promotion. It's not easy, to be honest with you. You know, like, the challenges we go through as females, Just to prove yourself, you need to work 10 times harder to be noticed, you know. And then men would look at you and go like, what do you mean you need to work 10 times harder? Trust me, you have to work 10 times harder. There's a lady that I know that I worked with. She's a site agent right now. And that woman, she was so brilliant. Whatever she did, she was very excellent at every single task that she did. And it only took her after a year to be recognized by a specific male to see that this person is actually very good, you know. But it's not easy for other males to actually admit and say, this woman is brilliant. I think maybe it's male ego or so. Yeah. And unfortunately, such things are affecting our country.
Yeah.
You know, simple as that. They're affecting our country. Systems as BEE are being placed in for a reason. It's not that just, you know. And if we do it correctly, trust me, I think our country could actually become bigger.
Yeah,
I honestly think so.
Okay, so as a woman, do you think BEE is there to kill the industry or to transform the industry?
To transform the industry. There are hard workers out there.
Joe?
Yeah, you know, listening to the ladies, I think we go through the same challenges.
I was actually about to ask to say, is the same challenges in the turning diamond space?
Absolutely. You must remember, this has always been a Jewish controlled type of industry. It's been a male dominated industry. It's a very niche industry. You understand? So for you to come in, you need somebody to vouch for you. So for us, how it works, it's a handshake. We don't deal with long papers, and it's your name that carries you. You understand? Mm. So with regards to transformation, black people are still not participating as they should. I mean, we are a producing country. We have got diamonds. I mean, the history of diamonds lies in South Africa. But the women, I'm talking four companies that are black owned, that I can quote right now, that are meaningfully participating, that we are able to employ. And as a producer country, in the beneficiation space, we've got the diamonds to beneficiate.
Yeah.
There's no reason why we can't create jobs, you understand?
Mm.
But because of transformation, and unfortunately the industry is capital intensive. Coming from the background of, you know, we are not trust fund kids here. We did not inherit millions, you understand? So you're facing a challenge where there's money that's needed to buy the diamonds. And if you don't have, it becomes a problem. So you need to align yourself with the people that have got the money, which would normally be the Jews or the Indians right now. And you need to align yourself so that they can fund you, and then you start purchasing the parcels, and then you start, even the expertise, you understand? So it goes without saying that transformation in this particular industry, it's not a huge industry, but it's got potential to employ and explode. I mean,
you know what, this is very sad, I must say. I think sitting as a man, particularly being in business, I've been in so many industries myself.
Yeah.
And right now, I mean, you know, running a diversified business. So for me, yes, it's been hard, but it's been hard from a generic of business. Do you understand? It has not been hard because I'm a man. Mm-hmm. Do you understand?
And
right now, The only thing where I've seen, though, there has been an ego thing with some men, you know, to say, hey, this one, give him this job, he's going to, do you understand?
Yeah.
He's going to buy whatever, or he's going to do this and that. It's only on that notion, do you understand? But either one, I cannot sit here and lie and say I've got challenges that you guys are experiencing as women.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So because this is something that is really affecting women, you know, as a whole in our country. And you guys are sitting here as a representative of different women that we have, you know, in this country. I think the only thing that I think it's a mistake for today's show, I should have had an Indian woman here. I should have had a Chinese woman as well, and a white woman. Do you understand?
Absolutely.
So that they speak about some of the challenges. Because right now I've spoken to some women that have said, no, I'm not going to lie. I've seen her being white has came with benefits, and I'm enjoying these benefits. Do you understand? And sitting here as a businessman, I think it's disturbing that we even have 1% of women in the JSE listed companies. And where else there's women out there that are sitting with brilliant expertise, brilliant ideas, and this and that. Do you understand? And yeah. others that have been given position by big companies.
Yeah.
Do you understand? But they cannot even exercise the power, you know, that they have in these industries or in these positions
yeah.
as women. So for me, it almost goes back to what's the point?
Look, we can't give up.
Yes.
We simply cannot give up. You can't just sit back and say, these are the challenges. Okay, feel sorry for yourself. You mm-hmm. understand? Right now, I think when you've got that opportunity, make do. Make hay while the sun shines. Mm. You understand? What you have right now, you can only make an impact in your immediate. And then hopefully that impact on another life will impact another life and another life and another life. Mm. You can only do so much. You understand? But it's challenges. We are meant to learn something from those challenges. But I refuse to give up. I mean, as I say, the diamond industry, you hardly hear any black person. We are just consumers. In the meantime, there is a business behind this, what you see, the glitz and glamour, you understand?
Yeah.
Where you can, especially, I will reiterate, as a producer country, you understand? You've got all the foreigners coming in, taking the minerals out, done. And we are left jobless. And, they go and create, yeah.
And we've got countries like Botswana that has overtaken us.
They have.
And we used to be the industry leaders.
We used to be the industry leaders. I mean, from 12,000 employees or rather workers in the industry, we're left with 300. What is this? You understand? And Botswana is a country that's got 3 million, a population of 3 million. Yet, even in Botswana, you don't find black-owned companies. You understand? Let alone women-owned, black-owned companies. So I am saying we cannot give up. Mm. You understand? Mm. We cannot just roll over and die. Mm. It's a matter of just being aggressive and just being present and doing all you can.
Mm. Yeah, Alice, what would you say are some of the lessons that you've taken from being in a male-dominated industry?
For me, I don't take anything personal. It's not about anyone's ego. It's about the work. You're there to work and produce. That's the whole point of it.
So you when are you just happy with what life is throwing at you?
I'm not happy. I'm just, it's difficult. But what I'm saying, the attitude that I'm taking is I whatever they say or they do, I don't take it personal. I just do what I have to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ma'am, some of your lessons being in a male-dominated industry?
Lessons, yeah. being there, firstly, my supervisor, who was my mentor, actually said to me, you need to be very assertive. And I didn't understand. I thought to myself, this man wants me to be aggressive, you know, since everybody around me was very aggressive. But then he meant, like, you need to be assertive, be confident with what you have to do, and, you know, because you can do so much.
Absolutely.
So I was surrounded by lots of people who had so much great talent. They were brilliant. So I learned from each and every one of them, all those males around there, regardless of how they treated us sometimes, because it's swear, you know, it's like, and they just blame the fact that it's just construction. But look, I learned a lot. I learned how to face unemployed people at the gates, you know, coming to strike, and then you need to evacuate quickly, you know, things like that. How to actually be a leader to people who are actually older than you. Mm. They look at you and you're very young. You know, and I was in KZN, right? And I had to understand the culture of those people. I had to understand how to respect the people on site. And at the same time, do my work. Because at the end of the day, you need to produce money. You have to do things. There must be quality in your work. You must do it in time. And, you know, you have to, it must be just spot on. So all those challenges that came through. But at the end of the day, the product needs to be done. So that's what I learned.
I think if you keep your eyes on the ball, you know, it must not be a matter of I'm a woman and then you try and get favors, or it must be about what you can do. And if you can deliver, it shouldn't be a hustle. You understand? You are there on merit. You are there because you worked hard for it. You owe nobody any favors. You don't owe anybody any apologies, and you don't have to be apologetic about it. And assertive it is, yes, not with arrogance, but if need be,
Let me take what you have to do. Let me take this opportunity to welcome Sharon. Sharon is not late, guys. You know, Sharon is delayed. I always say business people don't become late, they become delayed. Sharon, take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is that you do.
Thank you very much. That's very nicely put. I appreciate that. My name is Sharon Wagamaseka. I'm also a baby girl.
You are also Limpopoan.
I'm also a little Limpopoan.
Guys, these Limpopoans are taking over.
Representing, guys. I find myself involved in the mining construction industry, and I studied mining engineering at WITS. I've moved around in blasting and explosives, moved around in research, and now I find myself in mining construction for a company called Hilti.
So I see you are all kitted up, safety boots and all.
It gets worse than this.
Is it?
This is just lukewarm.
Oh, this is just lukewarm.
I had to try and respect you so that you don't feel out.
Please, eh? but at least good thing I didn't, because I'm always in a suit. So at least today I dressed down a bit so that I can accommodate.
Okay, so we appreciate that, I guess.
Because you could imagine if I was in a suit.
Pressure.
Yeah. So, but take us from the beginning. How did you start and why did you decide to say, when are you going to study mining? I mean, you are a beautiful woman. Alice Bell's Malls. You're supposed to be in Sorbet. or doing weaves and, you know, selling us weaves or something. But when are you decided you want to be in the mine and blasting stones? Take us from the journey.
I'm kidding, but you know, I think growing up in my family, you know, especially in us African families, like, bala, you know, kena skolo, you know, push, push, push. So you're just surrounded by all these things, but you know you need to make something out of it. Mm-hmm. And at that time, mines were booming. I mean, South Africa was a top producer. Gold and platinum prices were amazingly high. So that was the thing. And that's how I found myself studying mining engineering. And right now, there's a lot of people also in my position, thinking, hey, dimaini, dimaini. But the economy at this stage is not as favorable as it was back then. But I think for me, mining is very challenging. It was very difficult getting into it in the beginning, understanding the concepts and things like that. But I found it to be very challenging as I went along. And that's why I still find myself in doing it even now. It's just that I'm diversifying a little bit, you know, making sure I add on extra skills and so on.
Yeah. I think let me ask this trick question. I'm laughing. Somebody, we're on Insta Live. So someone is asking, do not date a woman who's in the male dominated industry. So it just took me back to I had a friend that used to date a lady who was a soldier. Yeah. So Ning, he was caught cheating. So
oh my goodness!
So he was strangled in front of us. So now I'm thinking to myself, I'm looking at you, Sharon. I'm imagining you busy blasting rocks. The next thing, when you get home. I hope you don't continue the blasting. It ends at work.
No, it ends. There are certain departments at home that need blasting. Yeah. But otherwise, I leave it at work.
Okay. So tell me, what do you do at Hilti?
So at Hilti, I'm a field engineer. Mm. And I'm on the technical supporting side of all the products and solutions that we have.
Okay.
So we service the mines across the region. Mm-hmm. And I work alongside account managers who focus more on the sales part. Yeah.
Mm. So when are you climbing up the ladder? Is Hilti listening? Let me start there.
You know, we love modern day slavery because we need to start somewhere. Mm. But it cannot be the end goal.
Yeah. Sure.
It cannot be the end goal. So especially as things are, I mean, mining is definitely not going to be what it is in the next 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if I find myself not just being an employee, but creating employment, creating these opportunities for investments, that's the ladder that I would really like to climb.
Yeah. When you came in, we were having an interesting discussion about transformation. Tell me, how's transformation in the mining industry? Are you accommodated as a woman? Do they understand that you are a woman first before you're an engineer? And before you blast stones and everything else, and are you accommodated as a woman
you
by the industry, not the company, the industry?
We are there. And the industry is trying, especially with all of the legislations and the BEEs and this thing that's needed before you get a permit. Government is trying, but is everybody on the board? No. Not even just from an ownership level. But 12-7-tang-lu-o on a day-to-day, you know, even the guys, it takes a while for them to just warm up and realize, eh, motogim side, 26-7-tang-lu-o. You know, we're in the same boat. So it takes it.
You don't find struggles around.
Of course. Some of them won't even listen to you. If you're there, you're presenting, you've got something to say to them. Some of them will just be like, hey, or, you know, things like that. So obviously, you're not going to disappear. So some of them eventually do come around. And like the lady said, a lot of things that speak for you is just your work. Before anything else, they must see her when you're competent. They didn't just choose her just because BEE said you must have this and this and that. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm. But, Shem, why Jimela that respect, Shem?
You know, if I might add there, if companies really had to adhere to the BEEs, but make sure that the people that you empower really also have got the expertise to add value, you understand? I find that in our industry, these guys will take a cleaner, you know, and then they make them your 26% shareholder.
Mm.
And yet the cleaner or the...
That's fronting. We've dealt with some of those issues in this show.
Yeah.
So I'm very vocal about that. I think that's why even in the panel discussion that I was hosting last week, they had to choose me because they know that I'm very particular. Because for me, it's an insult. One, I was raised by a single mother who had no help.
Yeah.
So who had to be a mother and a father at the same time. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I think it's an insult in any male-dominated industry that you ladies are in. To guys be placed there as trophies because that's what you guys are made. You guys are glorified trophies. You know, when a guy gets a trophy wife, I just like to be seen with her. Do you understand? But when I go to my meetings or whatever, you shall not have an opinion.
Do you understand?
So there's people like that. I mean, right now, this is something that we see in relationships and whatsoever. But now seeing it in industries, then it's for me, for a person that is raised by a single mother, seeing experiencing out there, it's an insult. That's why I think I've been very vocal about this issue. Because I don't understand her. Why should Alice be given power then she can't use it?
Do you understand?
Why shouldn't Tabi Seng be placed on the bridge? Do you understand?
Yeah.
But on the bridge, she can't even instruct the foreman, or she can't even instruct the person to say, you know, why is this truck standing there? You know, these stones need to move. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So it means that right now she needs to have somebody else. Do you understand? That needs to come and give the instruction on her behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's an insult. Her Sharon is sitting in the mine, you know, that cannot even instruct certain issues as far as the mining is concerned. Then she needs to be asked her otsamale mang. Do you understand? Why do you need to? For me, I don't understand as a man to say why you as a woman you need to have a shadow. You know what? That sits behind you. You know, to actually be in a position to what? To be realized or for you to have a voice.
Mm.
I think also it's about education out there.
Mm.
You know, people, especially men out there, need to understand that, you know, we are not sitting and sleeping. We are not cooking in the kitchens anymore. So it is not 19-odd whatever, 18-odd whatever.
Mm.
These are the times and opportunities are here, and we are stepping up to these opportunities. We are not sitting back and just letting the men take over. You know, if you are able, you are able. You are able-bodied person, you've got 100% mind functions. You can do this thing, and it's about clear communication out there to the men to say, you know what, at the end of the day, you cannot also do it on your own. There will be a time, like in the household.
Mm.
A man cannot run the household.
Yeah.
So you've got the woman to take care of other things. And same as in the workspace.
Yeah.
There will be time where you will need capacity. And if that capacity means another woman in that team, so be it.
Yeah, this discussion actually pisses me off. So let's leave it because we're also running out of time. But however, let's talk about opportunities. There's a young woman that is listening. that wants to be a trader one day, you know, or that wants to be, right now you're in the diamond space.
Diamond dealer.
Is there an opportunities for women? And is there an opportunity for a black child in the diamond space at this point in time?
Absolutely.
Where those opportunities are at?
Absolutely. I mean, 90% of the diamonds of the world are consumed by women. And there is definitely an opportunity for a black child or for a woman to play in that space, whether it be from jewelry design or from cutting and polishing special stones. Because diamonds are forever. You mean we wear diamonds every day. So there's definitely is longevity in the product. There's definitely opportunities that can be.
Okay. Yeah. So you encourage that more women should get into the space.
More women. We don't have women in this industry. Mm. We need more women. I think in the mining spaces, especially in the diamond industry, we don't have women in there.
Mm.
But in the beneficiation space, absolutely.
Okay. So now let's talk quickly to the BS and all these giant and trending diamond company.
Yeah.
What is your message to them as far as transformation is concerned?
Look, I think the BS are doing their bit. We have now become...
Not specifically DPS. I was just saying companies that are in that space.
I think in that
space
specifically...
So do not quote them as if... Because either somebody else would phone me and say, no, I know what they're doing. That is the opposite. So the next thing we're going to start having those debates. And you don't want me to get there. You said it's Women's Month. I must behave.
It is. Behave. I am going to talk in this space that I'm at.
Yes.
Let me tell you. Because they are the ones that have pretty much... contributed to where I am right now. So I would say with the program that they have put up, the initiative to allocate us rough diamonds so that we can beneficiate has been a step towards the right direction and which I would encourage other mining houses to do the same, adopt other smaller and up and coming diamond beneficiators in that space so that it's not just the four companies, there's another four companies that are hosted by Petra Diamonds or by Transex. It must not be a De Beers show. But thus far, that is the company that has come to the party, and they've got the mines, they've got the markets, they've given us the markets, they've exposed us to international markets, which is what we need. You can have the diamonds, but if you don't have the market to sell the diamonds, you might as well go to sleep.
Okay, Alice, construction and property. Is there an opportunity for women and for black kids to come into the space?
Yes, definitely. Because if you check the infrastructure in terms of accommodation wise, we're still way behind, especially in Johannesburg and other developing cities. So at the moment, yes, in terms of infrastructure, the roads, they're still, and in terms of properties right now, with the new charters and everything, women, they can definitely.
When are you coming into property?
I am in property.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's my girl. That's my G. Yeah. So so now you'd encourage more women to get into the space.
Yes, I'll definitely do that. And especially into the properties. Because what people need to understand, construction is just the wheel. After the project is done, then what do you do with it? And if you get into the construction, they need to understand in terms of you have to build something. So for us right now, in Smith & Medisha, we've got... we've got the clothing, we've got the plant hire, and we've got the properties.
Hmm.
So now this wheel of construction is building other, in terms of vehicles, building a legacy.
Because you know when I met Alice, she was not talking like this. Hmm?
What are you talking about?
I see transformation. There's been transformation in being my friend.
We have to step up.
Definitely. I like that. Interesting. Civil, is there opportunities for women and a black child to get into the space?
There are opportunities, even though maybe there's some doors that could be shut because of the economy at the moment. You know what? I believe as a youth, you need to be innovative. Think out of the box, you know. Don't have that herd mentality because your friends are doing civil, they're doing this, electrical or whatever, and you just want to join in. But if you've got that passion and you know what you're doing, I think, look, opportunities are there. You just need to... do it. You just have to do it, you know, and you'll definitely prosper. It depends on you. Hmm. So, yes.
Okay. Sharon, mining. So, is there an opportunity for women and for a black child to come into the space? Would you encourage them to come into the space and where the opportunities are at?
Yes, sir, definitely. Guys, itlang. But what I can advise is to not just be a one-trick pony, you know. Don't just go in the mines.
Listen to English. What's one trick pony? I did want to education. Okay?
So,
same year.
How's your name, my nigga? You know, Oscar's one more, what's about fellas doping, leging, you know. Try and build up on other skills so that you can diversify. You can still move around and still find yourself working. So diversify, and come.
So you're encouraging women to come?
Absolutely.
No, definitely. This is an exciting discussion that we had for you today on 360 Biz with four amazing women that are into male-dominated industries as a whole. I think more than anything, what we've shared is very insightful. But if ever you've just joined in or you've joined in late on our discussion, you can always go to www.cliffcentral.com, or you can even download the Cliff Central app on your phone to actually listen to the podcast and get to hear where some of these women are, what they've been, and how they even got into the male-dominated industries that they're in. And for industries that are listening, I ask you, there is an opportunity in our country for a black woman. You know, do not give them opportunities because you're trying to comply. And this is not a tick box exercise, but give them opportunities because you see potential in them and because you want to grow them to be industry leaders and a transformation, you know what, change into the industry as a whole. That's just my token, because we've seen what most of these companies are doing out there in terms of manipulate women as a whole. And as far as the industry is concerned. But however, we always close off the show in style. So I always want to say a 30-second word of inspiration to somebody that is listening, that is on the verge of giving up, or that is you. That is you at that point, at that point in time when you're starting. So, but you've been starting. You've been. It has been you. So, well, my God, all of a sudden, so
let me get my inspiration. What is this?
So, right now, Joe, there's a Joe that is listening, that is on the verge of giving up. What is your 30-second word of inspiration to him?
I would say challenges are there. It this is life. Life is for the living. Just catch your breath, follow your dreams, and never give up.
Catch your breath, follow your dreams, and never give up. At least a 30-second word of inspiration to a woman that's on the verge of giving up?
I would say to the ones that wants to start in construction, start by being the... I always say, be the employee that you want to employ.
I like that.
And the other thing is, your time is coming. Just be patient, do good. Because you'll never know who's watching.
I like that. Ma'am?
I would say we always have dreams and we know what we want. So do it. Don't stop, do it.
Don't stop.
And you will prosper.
Okay. Ma'am?
I would say when you need help, you must ask for help. There are people out there who are willing to help.
Yeah, no, I like that. If you need help, you must ask for help. There's somebody that is willing to help. What am I saying to women this afternoon? Let's get a general. So my message to women, to the amazing four women that I've got on the show as we close in the show, and to women in general in this Women's Month, is that this world is unfair. This world has been unfair, and this world is going to continue to be unfair. And to men that are oppressing to women, what I want to say is that shame on you. Because one thing, that's why I don't believe in the campaign of take a girl child to work. Do you understand? For me, I believe in taking a child to work. I believe in the development of both the male and the female child. To say female, you need this male. Do you understand? And to say male, for this female to be queen, you need to treat her like a queen, or you need to make her queen. Do you understand? So that they grow up depending on each other, not to say one is important than the other. Do you understand? Because right now the market is out there empowering the woman, but depowering the man. And the man is the one that needs to marry the woman, that needs to hijack the woman tomorrow, or that does all of these things to the woman. Do you understand? So for me, it is my message. And my message to companies out there is that, you know what, be the leader in terms of transformation, be the leader in terms of bringing change onto the industry as a whole and transforming the space of male-dominated industry in our country. My name is Teboho Mafodi. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. Again next week, same time, right here on Cliff Central. We out.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.